and welcome in episode number 289 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ross.
So, Nick, you are
back.
Welcome back. We missed you so much.
Thank you. I've gotten so many people that have come up to me while I've been hosting over the last couple of weeks and saying, why aren't you on the podcast? We miss you so much. Please come back.
Hashtag you're... things that have not happened.
Yeah. No, nobody came up to me.
Yeah, no. Emily and Cassandra have been great. So they've been so good that we say we need more hosts.
Yes.
And so we have one of our... I can't say this because all the other hosts will hear, but Ross is one of our favorites.
Oh, thank right. you.
And you're a podcast.
You're definitely in the top 92.
Oh, wow. I'm so honored, Nick. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Well, you're a podcast veteran at this point.
True. I've been doing this for a while.
Yeah. So what from your past experiences will you bring onto this show?
Let's be honest. I don't know. I kind of wing it. We got to get right. some fun facts in.
I mean, obviously...
And then just always make Michael feel bad about something.
Right. He's bringing rugged good looks to
yes.
the podcast. That's the important thing.
Good looks to the audio podcast.
That's right.
But yeah, right. this is a big moment today.
Yes.
On We Don't Know Either. Because I don't know the proper term, but you have some big news that you want to share. I don't know if it's licensed or you're a card carrying.
Ooh, did you get an accreditation?
Yeah.
So what happened?
So in addition to being a trivia host, as if that wasn't nerdy enough, I became a member of the Magic Castle in Los Angeles a few weeks ago. And I'm now a card-carrying magician of the Academy of Magical Arts. I have my card here, which, of course, since it's a podcast, you can't see.
Okay,
I'm going to take a picture. Lindsay is very intrigued.
I'm flicking the card right now. It is hard. It is laminated. There are numbers on the back. It looks legit. There's an owl. So what did you have to do to become a member of this magic castle?
So I had to do some tricks. I had to do an audition, an
application. Oh, an audition?
So yeah, they bring you into this room with like a whole bunch of other magicians, and they basically say, go for it. And
you put on your whole show.
You do a trick, and then they'll tell you if you want to do another one, and you just keep going. And then after like four or five, they say, okay, we've seen enough, and then they send you back upstairs and wait for everyone else to do it. And then they're like,
so it's like
you're either a member or not.
So you have to be there in person.
Yeah. You're like in a suit, dressed up at the Magic Castle.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
After the audition process, is it like any sports movie where you're all in a group and it's like, all right, 7, 12, congratulations, you guys are in. Anybody that didn't know, better luck next time.
So
and this other
like,
number that I found out of my, I'm pulling out of my ear.
They actually pull numbers out of a hat. No, I'm kidding. But they do, like, they basically have you all in this area, and the ones that get in, they tell you to come one way, and the ones that don't, you get to go, like, get feedback and learn how to do better for the next audition.
You get to go into, like, the crying room.
Yeah, like, kind of. Yeah, basically, it's like, here's some whiskey, and we'll teach you how to do some better tricks.
So in addition to impressing us with the card, and we're going to put you to work at a lot of our events, Trivia Magic on October 31st, DC, districttrivia.com/triviamagic. It's, you know, we can't say what it's about, but you know, that boy wizard. But anyway, you might be there. It'll be magic. It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
What other perks come with your card and this audition? Now that you have this, what does that mean?
So basically, I have access to the library at the castle. I can go whenever I want. I can bring friends. I can like hang out with Neil Patrick Harris, who was the head of the board of directors a few years ago. So it's kind of like this club, but also resources for magicians around the world. So that, you know, there's been like 20,000 members since it started.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are so
very impressive.
It's pretty legit.
So that's awesome.
When you travel now, do you get to like, is there like magical embassies all over the world that you can like jump into?
Yeah, actually, so the big one, we have like partner memberships. Uh-huh. So as a member of the castle, we get to go to like the Magic Circle in London or Magic Paradise in Houston. So those are the big ones. But then there's like a few other ones kind of around the world.
Okay. Any here in D.C.?
No, unfortunately not.
Not yet.
So yeah, D.C. has a small magic community, but like maybe see me and other magicians at like open mic nights around. You never know where you can find D.C. magicians.
You're saying there's a business opportunity here in D.C.
there could be. If we want to do
castle.
District trivia magic.
That'd be great in like the Smithsonian Castle, like in the basement in a secret corner.
Exactly.
Like the magic
Call
castle.
Us.
That would be so fun. Yeah, district trivia will sponsor.
So you actually brought a magic-related fact with you today.
I did. So one of the coolest parts of the Magic Castle is...
Oh my gosh, your phone case has a card on it.
Yeah, that's just true.
that's awesome.
And so the castle, Lindsay's card.
Oh yeah, Lindsay chose a card. It's the Jack of Clubs. So the castle hosts seances where you can like talk to Houdini, which is kind of fun. So I have a Houdini fun fact because I feel like he's just kind of this cool character of a human. I guess like we're going to begin with, do you all know how Houdini died?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Cool.
Tell us.
Let's see. Yeah.
Wasn't it a trick where he said he could be punched in the stomach by somebody and he wasn't quite ready and the guy swung early and it messed up something internally?
Yeah, basically. So everyone thinks that he died, like, doing some feat of magic, like, you know, David Blaine holding his water for 20 mm-hmm. – holding his water.
I was like, well, yeah.
Holding his breath underwater, excuse me, for, like, 20 minutes, right? No, Houdini was just in his dressing room, and two guys came up and decided that they were going to be like, hey, you say that you can get punched in the stomach and survive? And he's like, as long as I brace myself. And he just went for it and hit him four times before he was ready. And then he ended up having all this internal bleeding and then – like, thought it was appendicitis and had a fever and all this inflammation, and then he died.
Oh, man, that's tragic.
But I recently learned, so as a college professor, it was two college students that did it. Where were they?
At which college?
Yeah.
Where did the punch happen?
Where did the punch happen? I just learned this morning. So, Michael, you seem to be well-versed in this story.
I was a big fan of magic growing up. I still am in a lot of ways.
That's good.
All I'm picturing for your audition is like the Penn and Teller's Fool Me show. You know what I'm talking about? I love it. Love it.
Love Penn
and that's
Teller.
What I'm picturing your audition as. Where? Okay.
Where is... I
would guess it's East Coast, right? Because it's, you know, older times.
I want to say like Chicago.
Close. So he died in Detroit.
Okay.
But he was hospitalized there after. The show was in Montreal.
Because he still did the show.
Yeah, he still did the show. The show was in Montreal at McGill University. Two McGill students go to his dressing room, just kind of knock him out. And then he was like, no, I can do the show. And he did it like with internal bleeding and then was hospitalized back in Detroit.
Right. So maybe if he had gone to the doctor before doing the show, he would have been okay.
You never know.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
Oh my gosh. So in your opinion, who's the best musician of all time? Is it Houdini?
The best magician of all time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very subjective
that's a hard question,
right? Like, what do you value?
Yeah. I think it depends on, like, what you're looking for. I think Penn and Teller are super talented, and I think they're always pushing kind of the boundary.
I would think Merlin.
Merlin?
Merlin, of course. If we're going back medieval.
Merlin, Dumbledore. I mean, that's always a good...
I think wizards are different than magicians.
There's always Voldemort. He did great things.
True.
Terrible, yes.
Dark great. Such dark magic, though, Michael.
districttrivia.com/trivia magic. Very cool. Yeah, I saw Penn and Teller in Vegas a few years ago, just happened to get snowed in and had an extra couple days, and it was the best thing that I did in Vegas. It was incredible.
Wild.
There was a bullet across the way. How did they cut leaves off the shadow? My favorite trick wasn't even really a trick. Teller was like, Penn was telling us, here's how I'm doing this trick. And he had a nail gun and a full board of nails. And he's like, all I'm doing is just memorizing this pattern as he's like blasting these nails at the side of his head, at the board. And I was like, oh my God, I've never been so sweaty.
Yeah, the nail gun trick is amazing.
Yeah.
Everyone should check it out on YouTube. It's good
stuff. It's not even really a trick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Memorizing.
It's
just
Yeah. I mean, anyway. It probably is still a trick.
This is a magic theme.
You never know what's right. behind it.
Oh, my gosh. What a magic. Oh, I could talk about magic
Lindsay's
forever.
Lindsay's such a magic person.
I do. And magical. Never change. Okay, Michael, you're up next. I want to keep going. I'm sorry that your fact will not be as interesting as Ross. Not even close.
Sure.
Basically, on the fact that it's Michael giving it.
Oh,
I'm glad Ross is here because everybody just takes the opportunity to just hit me.
Yeah, but I'm going to punch you in the stomach. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
You did ask what I wanted out of this podcast at the beginning.
Yeah, right.
And you're the first one.
Side note, also a thing in Vegas, this guy was paying people $20 to kick him in the crotch. And if he flinched, you got your money back, which I thought was a very interesting business model.
It is.
I did not kick him, just for the record. Yeah.
To be fair, Michael, as far as insulting you goes, I haven't insulted you in at least 5 weeks.
You haven't insulted
on the podcast.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Michael, give me your fact.
Okay, I have no good segue for this, but you guys have heard of contagious yawning.
Contagious yawning, yes.
So somebody yawns. Like,
so what I do when you talk?
Not quite. No win for me today.
Not at all. But you're used to losing.
It doesn't help when I set her up.
I'm not even on the podcast anymore. I'm just sitting back and watching.
I'm sorry. I'm hungry. Okay, Michael, fact.
So babies and young children actually don't catch yawning. They don't get the contagious yawning. So basically, at what age does yawning become infectious?
Oh, Michael, that's a great fact.
Thank you.
I'm
surprising
honestly surprised.
Coming from you.
Oh my gosh, way to go, Nick. Same page.
Look at what I've done.
Okay, so what age is contagious yawning become a thing? Nick, you have children. Asher's four,
yes.
Five-ish, four.
Four and a half.
Yeah, four and a half. So in between four and five, yeah. So does he contagious yawn?
Not that I've noticed. I mean, he.
You're going to test this as soon as he gets home.
Oh, absolutely. He doesn't really sleep or, you know, rest at all ever. He's just 100 miles an hour all the time. I'm pretty sure children just suck the life out of their parents, and that's how they sustain themselves. Mm. But yeah, I'm going to say, I would say he hasn't started doing it yet, so I'm going to go with seven.
Okay.
Seven?
Yeah, it starts at seven. That's old enough when they start, like, paying attention and realizing what's going on. Because right now, he's just sort of in his own little world.
Okay.
I'm going to go a little younger.
Okay.
It could also be because we, like, air quote, learned about this in bio class in high school,
okay.
Right? It's like some instinctual thing. So I feel like when, like, the brain starts to develop five, let's go five.
Good. Okay. I guess, like, in my head, the obvious answer would be, like, a 1 or 2 year old. Like, toddlers see their parents doing it, mm-hmm. and then they start to do it. So I want to say two. But at the same time, I also want to say, like, 10.
Okay.
Because that's when maybe, like, you start to get tired because your body's starting to change. Okay, so I'm going to stick with 10. But if it's 2, I'll be mad about it.
Okay. Ross actually hit it dead on the money.
5?
Okay. It's 5 years old.
Way to go, Ross.
Look at that.
So I'm right. Asher hasn't started doing it.
Asher has not started. Look for it in the next 6 months or so.
Right, okay. It's funny enough, that's not one of those, like, little check marks, like one of those benchmarks that
have
in child rearing. It's not in the book.
Well, I mean, it's one of these fascinating things. I was always interested in psychology in college, just never had the aptitude for it. But, I mean, it's just kind of interesting to see that development curve.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand why there's a contagious yawning almost at a societal level.
Sure.
But the fact that kids don't pick it up until they're 5 years old is just, for me, that's really, really surprising.
You know what? The one thing I've learned from having kids is that every kid is vastly different, right? Like, all of these benchmarks and all of these, like, oh, by this point, your kid's supposed to be doing this and all of that stuff. Most parents, they don't have any idea what any of that is, and it doesn't matter. Like, they'll get there when they get there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that's important. I mean, right now, Asher obviously doesn't have contagious yawning as Michael yawns into the microphone.
Sorry, I tried to step away.
Asher doesn't have the contagious yawning thing, but he does have the insulting thing down.
Mm. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So, oh, should we have him on the podcast?
Yeah. I mean,
come over, Michael. This
is, no, I mean, I was putting him to bed the other night, and we replaced the window in his room because it's a 30-year-old house, and the windows were old and falling apart, so we replaced the window. And he's like, Daddy, why did we replace the window? And I said, oh, because it's, you know, it's an old window, and it was broken. And he goes, oh, like you.
Ooh. Oh. Oh, my gosh. Asher. Oh, my gosh. We got to get him on here. I got to learn some things from him.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Well, do you want to go next?
I can go next, sure.
Or I can go? I don't know. I got multiple to choose from, so I'm kind of seeing what everyone else throws out there.
Sure. Well,
I'm going to pull one out of my hat.
We've done magic and science, so I'm going to, of course, go sports.
Oh, sports.
Yeah. It's. I mean,
go sports,
the natural
go.
Transition.
Football is back,
mm-hmm.
right? We're early on in the season, and my fantasy team is already screwed. So here is my football fact. How many cows does it take to provide the NFL with footballs for 1 year?
How many cows does it take to provide the NFL footballs for 1 year?
Yeah.
Did we need, like, a vegan warning here?
I guess Emily's trigger warning?
Emily's in South Korea, so she was on last year and she was teaching us about, or last week.
Yeah,
yeah last year. No, yeah. She was on last week and was teaching us about it. So, cool. Okay, so that begs the question of how many footballs are used in a game, which we've had on the podcast. I believe we've talked about it, and it's, what, 16 footballs a game or something?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
That's real roughly, that is correct. There are, I think there were 60 footballs used in the Super Bowl, but a regular NFL game is about 20 to 25.
Okay, cool.
Because there's special cables
like and
the throwing balls. And...
Well, isn't the more important question... How many footballs come from one cow?
Yes, that was my follow-up.
That's another question.
And I feel like we have a cow specialist in the room with Lindsay here. If we go back to podcasts from January.
Right? This was not covered in my extensive FFA curriculum. It did not come across as to how much cow needed to make leather goods.
Right. Just meat.
just meat.
Lindsay knows her meat really well.
I know. Yeah. Just to judge it, I am award winning. Not so much in the dairy realm, but you know, this is a long time ago. Anyway, I still don't have a good guess. I feel like cows are pretty big, though.
Right.
Cows are large animals.
Yeah, stood by them.
Do you want to know how many footballs per cow?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yes. There are 10 footballs per cow.
So okay. 2 cows per game, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Sure.
Is that like a decent...
Yeah.
I don't think they reuse any of the balls, right? So there's what? Mm. How many games a week are there? Each team plays 16 games.
Right.
Pulling out the calculator.
Does it include preseason and postseason?
Yeah. For a whole NFL season.
Oh, okay. My gosh. So you figure 16 and there's 32. What do we say? 16?
No, 20 if you count the four preseason games.
Yeah, let's say 20.
Okay.
Four preseason games plus the 16 season. So 32 times 20, you're talking 640.
Okay, Michael, with your math. Wow.
640 games. That's just pre and regular season. Let's see. Playoffs.
Six teams in each division in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. So, but with one bye. So you're talking 4-4-2-1.
Right.
So that's 11.
Yep. Plus the original number, which was?
651.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You said half a cow per game.
No, 2 cows per game.
2 cow per game. So 651, 1302.
That is correct, doubling.
1302. Let's add 10 cows for shits and giggles.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 1,310. 15 cows.
1,315 cows. Yes, 1,315. Right. The way. Yeah. Okay.
That was all mental math, just so all listeners know.
Nick is staring
that,
me down. I think I'm closer than I think.
Lindsay and I both have our calculators out and came to 1,312.
Okay.
I agree with Ross, but I'll take 1 cow.
Going with the under?
I'm going with the under. I'll take 1 cow.
In third place is Lindsay at
1
cow.
No, I'm playing Price is Right.
Right, and you finished third.
Dang it.
Michael is the closest without going over. It's actually 3,000 cows.
Whoa.
It takes 3,000 cows to supply the NFL with footballs for the entire season.
Where do the cows come from? Like what region? Is there a specific...
Farm?
Well, no, is there a specific region or guy has the monopoly of cow providers?
Yes, all NFL footballs are provided by the Wilson Sports Manufacturing Company.
Oh, and it would make sense that Wilson has their own cows.
Wilson has their own cows, yeah. Mm. That's exactly how it works.
What is it called? Siloed business? No, I don't know if that's a thing.
No, yeah, it's vertical integration.
Vertical integration.
That's the term you're looking for.
I think that's also going to be our secret phrase.
Vertical integration.
Vertical. Can I ask one technical question?
Integration.
Sure.
Hang on, I got to make sure that everyone hears this secret phrase
so
I don't get emails about it. Vertical integration is your secret phrase. Ding, ding, ding. Vertical integration. Is your secret phrase.
You missed it, it is contact@districttrivia.com.
now that you pointed out so much, I really hope that's actually correct. So, that vertical integration is the term you're looking
you
for.
You sounded confident.
The technical question is, did your question assume that all the balls are used? You just said supplied, and I realized that after the fact. Maybe I would have guessed a different number.
Well, here's the thing. Whether or not it's used... If it's supplied, it's necessary.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like the answer sheets.
Yeah.
Right. We print out a number of answer sheets for every event. If
right.
we don't use them all, we still printed and supplied them.
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
right. Tricky.
So that cow still became a football.
Right.
Whether or not it was used in an NFL game.
Poor guy. Poor guy.
You can't go from football to cow.
No. You can go from cow to football, but not from football to cow.
Mm. Okay.
It's my time for my fact.
Do it, Lindsay.
For my fact.
Do it.
Okay, so we're kind of running at the end of the episode. I promised last week that I would talk about Columbo, but I don't want to shoehorn him into the last 2 minutes because he is too great to fit in.
Columbo the detective?
Columbo the detective, sir.
Yeah, that's what I said, the detective.
You said it questioningly.
Give him the detective?
Yeah, give him the respect that great man deserves. But we'll talk about him next week.
Okay.
Also, Michael, you're going to follow up about your fact from last week and the filibuster, but this is all next week, so stay tuned.
Right.
Today, here's my question. According to Joel Silver, one of the producers of Die Hard, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes.
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 According to the producer.
Don't care.
If the producer said no, the producer is wrong.
Right. I would think that he would say yes.
I would think so, too.
Why do you feel like he would say yes?
Because it's so blatantly, obviously, a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Without question.
Unless he wants to, like, defy the public. But it's generally accepted as a Christmas movie. Why would the producer not do that?
Right. No.
Not just a Christmas movie. the greatest Christmas movie.
It's the Christmas movie.
Yes. Okay, so you guys are all correct. So yeah. Producer said, yeah, this is definitely a Christmas movie. He definitely saw the festive decorations, and he, you know, he obviously saw it. The screenwriter, Stephen D. Souza, he also agreed it's a Christmas movie.
Okay.
What about Bruce Willis?
I'm going with the irrelevant, but I'm going to say he also said yes.
See, I think he said no to just be ornery.
I'm going to say no.
Because why? Would
because the question's being asked. Yeah.
Yes, you are correct. So Bruce Willis at his roast, was I think last year, it was sometime in the past.
It just aired.
Just aired, yeah. I don't know.
In the last month or so.
It happened. But during his roast, he said no, it's not a Christmas movie, but no one really knows if he was joking or not or what he feels.
It's so he's roast.
fueling the controversy.
It's central to the plot.
Yes.
I know, yeah. It is definitely involved. I watched Die Hard with you guys for the first time. Well, you weren't on full staff yet.
Yeah, I don't think.
It's
I think
a really
that was
good movie.
Not for Die Hard.
Yeah, but it's, you know, according to the producer, it is a Christmas movie, is a holiday movie. I know that that's not a super interesting fact, but I thought that the screenwriter and producer kind of overruled the star.
According to logic, it is a Christmas movie.
Yes.
what to you defines a holiday or a Christmas movie?
The music involved. I think the entire soundtrack is Christmas carols for pretty much the entire movie. Mm. The time of year, the setting, the weather.
Mm.
Whether that holiday is central to the plot.
Holiday is central to the plot, yeah.
It's the whole point of taking the hostage. It was the holiday part.
And yes, I understand mentioning weather about a movie that takes place in Los Angeles is a misnomer in and of itself.
Absolutely.
But decorations, yeah, it's all there.
The screenwriter actually made a list. He said the Christmas movie are not checklists. So this is the screenwriter. And he says, takes place on a Christmas holiday.
Right.
Die Hard, entirely.
Yep.
Setting is a Christmas party. Die Hard, entirely. Number of Christmas songs, 3.
Okay.
Let It Snow, Winter Wonderland, Christmas in Halls. I don't know. Can't read it. Party venue threatened by terrorists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Broadcaster with hidden agenda. I don't know why that's on his list, but German ringleader, Hans Gruber, government incompetence, Christ's sacrifice is running barefoot over broken glass. And then he lists another, compares it to other Christmas
movies. The allegories alone.
Allegories. Okay. Let's wrap this episode up. Because now is a good topping point, and we don't want to go for another 20 minutes.
I want to go
even
for
though I could fit
minutes.
A lot of insults to Michael in that time.
I know. I really
I'm sure
up
we will have
there.
More next week.
This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Ross.
We don't know either.
Bye.